May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 642. Once more, dear God of grace, thy earthly courts we tread. We come to see thy face and banquet with our head. We long, we faint, we pant for thee, and hope that thou, that with us thou wilt be. 642.
Let us read together from the prophecy of Isaiah and reading chapters 54 and 55. Isaiah chapters 54 and 55. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing, and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt break, for thou shalt not therefore thou shalt forget thy shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. And this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Oh, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy and wine, but come and buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. May the Lord bless his own word and help us to pray. O kind and most merciful God, we would acknowledge that as thou hast brought us once again into this thy house of prayer, that we come, Lord, as with much need as we ever have before. And so, Lord, we ask of thee to remember thy people, those, O Lord, who have come to thee this day for some token for good. They've come to thee, O Lord, for evidence and for a witness that they are thy children. They come, O Lord, that thou might tell them that though their sins are so extensive, every one is blotted out and forgiven. See, Lord, we approve that thy ways are past finding out. So we ask of thee that thou send down some token for good, some token of thy special love. Surely this is the day that the Lord has made, and our desire is, O Lord, that thou shalt bless it, or that we might rejoice in it. We ask, Lord, great things. Our only consolation is thou art a great God, a holy God, without blot or blemish, and every word that thou hast spoken we can but rely upon. But Lord, we ask of thee that thou wilt be thy own interpreter unto us. For Lord, we're so inclined to interpret things ourselves, and we are always wrong. We always misunderstand things. Except, Lord, thou hast wrought that work amongst us, even the teaching and leading of thy Holy Spirit. We ask thee, Lord, that thou overcome all difficulties, collective, yea, Lord, and personally. And Lord, we pray that personal difficulties may not become a hindrance to any, or discouragement in listening. But Lord, we ask of thee that thou will grant to us thy Holy Spirit. Oh, so, Lord, that we might, our hearts might be inclined unto thee. Our ears might be so inclined, oh, so to hearken to thy word. For this we surely know, oh, that by nature we have no inclination whatsoever to hear or yet to believe thy word unless it pleases us. And Lord, what an awful rebellious spirit we find this amounts to within us. Oh, but dear Jesus, have mercy upon us. Blot out, Lord, all our sins and transgressions. Oh, come, we ask of thee, purge away our sins and show to us that they are forgiven, that thou might say to us, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast worked amongst thy people here. But this we are sure, there has been much seed sown in the past by thy dear servants that have come amongst them. We pray, Lord, that thou might give, Lord, that patience for it to break forth, to take root, and to bring forth thy honour and glory. Lord, that land that has been cultivated and fallowed for a while, that land, O Lord, which looks completely barren and desolate, could it please thee, Lord, that thou would come and sow the word of life there this day, or that it might fall into good ground and bring forth honour and glory to thy great and holy name. Lord, that which seems to be barren and desolate might yet bring forth fruit to thy honour and glory. Those eyes that have mourned so greatly for all the sorrows and temptations by the way, Lord, thou might come and wipe away those tears thyself, that, Lord, thou might speak and say to them, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. How we pray, Lord, for those who are away from us at this time, and ask thee, Lord, to be with them where they are, sanctify, rest and change to their help and strengthening, and Lord, that they may come home again revived, glad to be amongst their brethren here. Lord, we pray, remember the sick and afflicted, Lord. But oft times, Lord, we felt our affliction too have ended. But Lord, how they return, it seems to be with vengeance and much reproach from the enemy of souls. Lord, remember such souls as this. Oh, that they might hear thee say, I am the Lord that healeth thee and forgiveth all thine iniquities. Surely, Lord, thou art too wise to err and too good to be unkind. Oh, may we be of the same spirit, Lord, as the Lord Jesus Christ. But thou hast said, except ye have the Spirit of Christ, ye are none of his. And Lord, where does that put us, we pray? Remember, Lord, those who sorrow for the loss of loved ones and friends, and even for the labours of their former hands. Oh, that thou might say to them, all thy times are in my hand, all events at thy command. We pray to thee, Lord, for the dear children that are found amongst them here. We do not ask thee, Lord, for great things for them, as gold and silver and ability, but Lord, that will feed them with food convenient for them, which may entail abundant stores of this life, that they may be given them to be good stewards of the gifts that thou dost give. Lord, bind them together in unity, Lord. Oh, we do pray to thee for unity. There can be no unity, Lord, in thy church, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that and that alone binds us together, Lord. It doesn't separate us, as men say, but it unites them. Oh, so, Lord, may the love of Christ dwell amongst them richly. We ask thee, Lord, to remember thy servants, the diaconate of this place. Spare them and save them, Lord, from destructive criticism. But rather, Lord, may they find they have a people here that holds up their arms in prayer, proving, Lord, they occupy the position that thou hast put them in. No, Lord, thou knowest our limitations at this time, and ask of thee that thou wilt send help and relief, and much more, Lord. Oh, that will blot out all our sins and transgressions. But may we speak boldly in the name of Jesus and testify to his gospel, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ alone can cleanse us from all sin. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake alone we ask it. Amen.
Hymn 762. How soft the words my Saviour speaks, how kind the promises he makes. A bruised reed he never breaks, nor will he quench the smoking flax. 762.
depending upon the Lord for all needed help. I seek to draw your attention to the 55th chapter of Isaiah and reading verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. There's not a soul in this chapel that this word does not apply to, for one simple reason: the our thoughts are not holy. Our sin, our thoughts come from a sinful mind and a sinful heart. Jesus tells us himself, it's not that which comes forth from the mouth that defiles the man, but that which is from the heart. And how true it is. And who can control himself from that which comes forth from the heart? For it brings forth fruit and seed according to its nature. What a solemn thought that is. But the word here says that my thoughts are so different. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And if the Lord so touches our heart, lays his hand upon us, then how pleased and satisfied we shall be with that. Because he rules, he reigns, he puts the poor sinner right wherever he is wrong. Thoughts of mercy, thoughts of peace. Thoughts, my friend, to save the poor sinner from his lost estate. His thought is this indeed, from all eternity, that such souls shall be mine, chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So it was his firm decree, his thoughts towards his people, to save them from their sin by sending his own dear Son into this world to suffer, bleed and die in their place instead. Friends, God's thoughts. Who can begin to trace and understand the thoughts of God? And yet I say, why is it so often we find ourselves in conflict, our thoughts against the thoughts of God? Once given a promise from the Lord, in my poor self I felt I understood it, and I thought the Lord would work it out in a certain way. But everything went wrong, as far as I was concerned. Everything went pear-shaped. Tempted indeed so much that I felt I must be a castaway. But it all contrary, fell out according to my own thoughts. But my friend, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Why, he said this, that his people, they shall be converted. And except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And tell me, where are your thoughts concerning that? Do you approve or do you disapprove? Friends, if you disapprove, it won't alter his thoughts. He will overrule. He will come in the day of his power and quicken that poor soul into life. It is a blessed thought. Oh, when the Lord begins the work of grace in a poor sinner's heart, then his thoughts are completely changed. You will no longer want to parade yourself as pro or anti Jesus Christ, but rather this: is not this thy cry and that trying hand of his upon you, that it may be sanctified to you, to bring you to his feet as nothing? I say, how wonderful that is. Sanctified affliction, wherein we see the will of God made manifest. I was called once to the bedside of an old lady. She didn't appear to be the sweetest and most amicable sort of lady. In fact, you may have called her to be a bit of a flint. And when I was called there, I trembled at the thought of meeting her. But when I went into the ward, and she was a pathetic sight. She'd had this awful stroke. In fact, I never seen a person's face so disfigured. I said, well, how are you then, Miss Edwards? She said, sweet, to lay passive in his hands and know no will but mine and thine. Friends, oh, I say, do you see where I am coming to? God's thoughts to her was to bring her, well, he'll bring all his children as nothing. Like the apostle writes to the Corinthians, he regards himself as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Two completely different lines of thought to what he formerly had. He's going to put down those so-called Christians. He's going to do away with his teaching and doctrine. What he already thought, there was none so holy and good as he. He was a true Pharisee. And all the cost indeed inflicted upon the Lord's people was very, very great. Oh, I say, what are your thoughts? What are you inflicting upon the Lord's people? Do you really think that what you're doing right in God's sight? or in your sight, or man's sight. Oh, remember this. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither your ways my ways. Surely the man is beyond redemption. As the poor man said, but we've heard much about this man, and so may you and I. But friends, something he didn't know, wasn't it, that God knew? Behold, he prayeth. He'd said many prayers before, and I suppose they sounded good and acceptable at such a learned man. But how easy we can be deceived. But I say, when God's thoughts and his appointed time come, he prayed in different strains and in a different way. God knew it, my friends. It cut him down. He became blind. But his eyes were to be opened. I say, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Have you told Almighty God what you're going to do and how you will do it? My friend, what spirit are you of when you say this? But when he comes and comes, makes your heart soft, tender and soft, you say, why, his thoughts are not the same as mine. My friends, blessed be his name, if he thus has caused you to bow before him in humble prayer. All these things that are involved, Satan will tell you, you are nothing but a hypocrite. But what the purposes of God unfold to you is this, that God is a sovereign, and he'll have his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. I say, who is it that can deal with a hard heart? Oh, never be proud about a hard heart. Are you in the deepest of trouble? Are you in great sorrow at this time? And still you find you have a hard heart. I don't think there's anything worse than this, to be in a trouble and affliction with rebellion there. Rebellion against his mind and will. There's nothing makes the heart harder than rebellion. With men in all their scientific efforts to create material harder and harder and resistant to hate, they still haven't produced anything as hard as a man's heart that is in rebellion against God. Oh, I say, you have to say, rebellious thou hast been, and art rebellious still. Oh, I say, still. And yet when I say in love he draws you in, what a different matter that is. His thoughts, my friend, are wondrous thoughts to his people. Yes, indeed they are. Because he has already said to us, incline your ear and come unto me. how reluctant, how resilient are you to those words? It's amazing how much we can be. But see his patience and long suffering towards there. Oh, that he bids you come. This chapter opens up in a beautiful way, if we could but see it. How everyone that thirsteth, friend, is a voice that's calling to somebody. How? You who thirst, I have water. But water was an expensive commodity in those days. But a commodity that was so necessary, yea, to all of us, as it is today. But woe to the poor man who's got nothing to buy water with. Surely he must perish. How? Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Why, my friends, he that hath no money, how often we have said, can such a sinner as I, who has nothing at all, come to him? My friend, what a mercy that is. We should never come to him until we're taught by the Holy Spirit. We have one might to call our own, to justify ourselves. We are completely destitute and in bankrupt. My friend, what a dreadful thing that is. And yet he says, come. Oh, see his thoughts of love and tenderness to you, poor sinner. That though we be the worst of sinners and feel it to be so, he still bids that poor sinner come. And you know, this text hasn't worn out. The need hasn't gone away. The Lord still has a people that have no money. You are dying for want of pardon and forgiveness. Yea, the water of life. Come. Oh, I say, what a mercy that is. In verse 3, he says, incline your ear. Incline your ear. Have you been in that position where you have no inclination at all to hear the gospel or that it should be applied to you? You know, I can remember as a youth, at one stage, having no inclination whatsoever. In fact, I used to hang the time out on the Sabbath, feeding the outside livestock, so I should be too late to go. Oh, friends, what a sad state we're in when we get like that. No desire, no need, no inclination whatsoever. Talking about the people of God in a derogative way, thinking I wouldn't be found with that lot. Oh, my friends, what a mercy. His thoughts are different to your thoughts. He has a grand scheme in his thoughts that will prevail. Yes, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but to call by grace. Oh, what a great lesson we have when we think that word, for my thoughts. Friends, what blessed thoughts they are. What lovely thoughts they are. How could the Lord look down upon one so vile, so sinful, so hell-deserving? That's not cheap ghetto either. Hell-deserving. Deserving indeed to be tossed into that bottomless pit. Ever to sink, ever to fall. No hope, my friends, of climbing out. It's bottomless. Falling, falling, falling. My friends, but there's only hope, to hear the gospel call. And I say, what a wonder that is, and what power that is, that it should lift the poor sinner up. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't know if you've ever had one of those awful dreams where you dreamt of falling, and when you open your eyes, how thankful you are, it's only a dream. You're not falling anymore. It is but a shadow of the point I'm trying to make, friends. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They were only the imaginations of your own heart and the fierce temptations of the devil. Because, friends, not only does the devil know his own, but he knows who the Lord's people are. And you might often say, if I'm a child of God, why am I subject to such fierce temptations? It's no good us telling other people they won't understand you. But my friend, our mercy is the Lord understands us. And he can unravel these unrivaled questions for you. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts, my purposes are working out. It is his great determination and love that he might bring you humbly to his feet and cause you to return unto him. I say, oh, what wonderful thoughts. But sinner, look at your state. Look at your condition. I ask you, just look at it. What have you got to offer? What can you bring forth to him and say, I've got this to offer? My friend, no. His thought is not on the ground of offer. It is on the ground of free and sovereign grace. Let me make this point to you. Salvation is not optional. It isn't even a request. It comes and acts according to its nature. It stops where the poor sinner is. And thus he is received by him. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Sinner, he won't cast that soul away that has been given to him in the eternal purposes of God. Jesus makes that abundantly clear, does he not? All that the Father hath given me shall come unto me. Oh, may he cause our rebellion to cease. May he, in his love and mercy, cause us to return. Friend, I want to touch another point here. I want to be careful what I say. And it's this. Are we ashamed of him? My thoughts are not your thoughts. You may be ashamed of him, but what a mercy that he's not ashamed of us. That all that the Father hath given us shall come unto us. What for? Why, he gives unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a difference, I say. Oh, between our faithlessness and his faithfulness to us. Oh, faithfulness and faithless. Absolute contrast one to the other. But friends, grace will triumph at reign. It surely will. Grace is according to his eternal thoughts and purpose. Even as him right has put it, I saw thee, he saw me ruined in the fall, and loved me, notwithstanding all. He saw me in my lost estate, his loving kindness, oh, how great. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Are we not brought to his feet? And oh, to say his wondrous love and mercy. Oh, what a fool I am. All my thoughts are full of evil, full of sin. All my thoughts are no value at all. They all, my thoughts, arrive from the deceitfulness of my own heart and nature. Friends, our thoughts, they're based on evilness and sin. Again, I want to speak of the values of this life. By nature, we may be seeking and tracing out the values of this life. You can often tell what is on a person's mind. Success in the family can be so enchanting. They meet somebody, or we meet somebody, and we're just bursting to tell them that what's good news to you. And before you leave, they say, I just must tell you this. My little relative has done this. My relative done that. We have not indeed another child born into the family. Well, yes, much to thank God for. But what are your thoughts about it? Must you take out some insurance policy for it? For future dates and occasions? Friends, no. My thoughts are not your thoughts. God's eternal purposes will surely unfold. When under the terror of Pharaoh, demanding all the babies to be destroyed, there's one that he missed out on, and that was Moses. Great deep, isn't it? But no, there's a necessity. It was one of God's appointment. What a dear mother he had. She laid him in the ark of bulrushes and laid him in the water, where he should have been drowned and destroyed. But my thoughts are not your thoughts. Pharaoh's daughter saw him. Her heart went out to him. She wanted him herself. She took him into her arms. She said to Miriam, who was nearby, oh, can you provide one to nurse this child for me? Why, she immediately referred her to her mother, a Jacobed. And so she said to the dear mother, take this child and nurse it for me. They were her thoughts. But my friend, it was a thought of God, the purpose of God, that that child should be brought up in the courts of Pharaoh for another day. And what a long time it was before the real unfolding of that matter. 80 years. Oh, hast thou said at times, I have. My thoughts have been so impetuous. I want it done now. Now, my friend, is that God's thought it should be done now? No, it will be done. And so it will be done in his own time and appointed way. How we need to pray for grace, that we may have patience for the unfolding of his purposes. Yes, my friends, his purposes. Oh, remember, when we think of God's thoughts, you cannot measure time therein. Time is a meter that's used to satisfy a poor fool of man. But oh, he is God from eternity to eternity. And therefore I say, oh, remember this. God's clocks are never slow and they're never fast. No. I say, what sort of man did God bring forth? What was his thoughts? Why was he brought up in the courts of Pharaoh? Well, he was educated there. Something he needed in time to come. He knew all about administration of a large company, and that he needed in time to come. One thing he was taught in all this was this. Oh, it was not what he thought, but what God had appointed. He was certainly a man of prayer. He had his faults and failings, but I would to God that I had, if I might put it this way, a few cells of the grace that he had. My friend, how patient he was with that stiff-necked people. My friend, he was taught, my friends, lessons where God put him, he could not learn in any other way. And is that not so with you, poor sinner? Lessons he has taught you about yourself, how unreliable man is, what a sinner we are by nature. Oh, that we may be taught this, that God is the God of mercy, who hears and answers prayer. When he interceded for that people, was not this the man in God's thought been taught and led by him? My friends, we may be left to boast of experiences we have with men. We've learnt lessons about it. But there's nothing to be compared to the lessons that the Lord has taught us. You children, he said it is good that the man should bear the yoke in his youth. Do I hear one say, I don't think this is fair. Why should I have to bear this? And why should I have to bear that? My friend, the Lord never lays anything upon you that is unnecessary. Do remember that. as though it leads to many things that are unnecessary. Leads in the paths of vanity, yes, of this world. But the Lord leads his dear people in paths of teaching that they'll never forget, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So it proceeds, my friend, in life. This is a good lesson to learn, how things proceed. Often people say, how are you getting on? Oh, some exalted person might speak and say it very well. Some of us have to honestly say, I don't know. But one thing is good, isn't it? If we can say this from the bottom of our heart, kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Oh, kept, my friends. His thought, oh, to keep us. But indeed, it seemed that Satan would destroy us and that all his power and troops at his disposal to overcome us. Oh, did he not say, you could touch him, but touch not his flesh, my friend. How Job was so protected. The thoughts of God to that dear man teach us so much. We come across those who say, that they're walking in Job's pathway. It may seem like it to you. But really think seriously concerning it. God's thoughts towards Job. Well, he lost everything. He lost everything. It must have been a solemn to him. It must surely seem what these friends so called him to be, a hypocrite. Yes, indeed. My friends, but how the Lord blessed Job, though he took so much away, he gave him so much more in his hand. And well, what was the teaching in it? Oh, by these things men live, and in these things is the life of my spirit. My friend, if Job had to go through the mill as he did, it's God's thought that it should and turn out for his purpose. Does he not bring you through this pathway? In the end, you should give him all the honour and all the glory. No, I would beg to differ if we say we're walking in Job's pathway. Job's pathway made him to be quiet. It brought him down low. Oh, in that 23rd chapter, read continually of it, how the dear man was taught, the thoughts of God towards him. Yes, indeed. He's in one mind. And none can turn him. Some will say, perhaps if I do this, perhaps if I do that, then he'll take it away from me. Perhaps if I do this, he'll bless me in basket in store abundantly. But my friend, that's not so, is it? My thoughts are not your thoughts. No, I just want to stop here. Divert just a little. So often people tell me that they know they are doing right because the Lord blesses them in it. That's an awful sneer to justify ourselves. I heard it sermon not long ago when self-justification was proved by things turning out well for you. Right? That's a deceit. It's not true, is it? The Lord would take away what we have and give to Him Himself. Yes, He will. Oh, say ever be spared from that spirit of fatalism. Yes. Oh, thinking if I do this wrong, the Lord can put it right. My friend, oh, that is cheap trading, isn't it, in the things of God. It's not His thoughts, neither is it His teaching. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither your ways His ways. How true it is. Friends, I must leave it here. But may the Lord bless these few remarks to you. And may He help us all to pray and bring us in line with His thoughts. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £685, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 766. Sovereign grace, our sin abounding, ransomed souls the tidings swell. 'Tis a deep that knows no sounding, who its breadth or length can tell. On its glories let my soul for ever dwell. 766.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the teaching of thy Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen.